Welcome back to the Sideline Live podcast. You can follow us over on Twitter and Instagram at the Sideline Live. We'd love to hear from you. On episode 110, I am delighted to welcome back previous podcast guest and takeover guest Joanne Doonan. This episode was recorded a number of weeks before Christmas as Joanne was still in the middle of the AFLW season with Essendon. This episode, we discuss her career to date, what life is like living in Australia, and so much more. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, Joanne. Good to chat again. It's been a long time since we've been in touch.
Yeah, it's good to be back on, Orla, and it's nice to be back on. I'm going to touch base again with you.
Good stuff. You've had a lot of life updates since, I think we were saying there, February 2021, we hit the episode, and then the VO2 testing would have been last summer. So give us a bit of an overview of what's been happening over the last couple of months and years.
Obviously COVID happened, and that kind of, we just kind of blanked that part out of our lives. But after I wasn't going back to Carlton, I basically kind of took a turn, didn't go back into engineering, and I went more down the personal training route, and actually got offered a job at home to just do like coaching in primary schools, like just GAA coaching. So it kind of worked and tied well with my PT work as well. So yeah, I did that while I was also just training with county and club. And thankfully, our club did so well. We won our Ulster intermediate title, which was amazing. It was so, so good. And that was after, I think that was the fourth time we got to the final, and we eventually got over the line that day. So that was definitely a massive goal for the club. And it was just an amazing weekend. And yeah, so basically, I kind of, one of my actual ex-coaches from Carlton had moved back to Perth at the stage and kind of sparked the idea in my head. He had asked would I come out and play basically the equivalent of VFL up in Perth. Basically got on to Jason from Cross Coders again, just kind of to see, you know, maybe was that an option. But the reality at that time with restrictions, things like that, Perth was definitely the hardest place to get into as well, WA. So we just kind of looked at other clubs and stuff that would be interested. And thankfully, Essendon was interested, along with my old list manager as well. He wanted me to go to, or like talk with Adelaide clubs as well. But as soon as I kind of had like a phone interview with Essendon, I was like, yeah, I definitely want to go and play VFL with them with the hope of getting back into AFLW. But I always kind of had in my head, I wanted to go back to Australia regardless, wanted to do the work and holiday visa, travel, have that experience. So I was like, look, it's a win-win in a way, because I'm like if I don't get picked, I still have that opportunity to work and live in Australia. In my eyes, it was kind of risk worth taking. But obviously in the back of my mind, you know, I was training hard for club and county at the time, and I was just ready to, I suppose, use that kind of fitness and strength that I'd built up over the last few years and kind of bring that experience of playing with Carlton that time into the VFL as well. And luckily, Essendon were elite. It was so, so good, because at the time we came in, obviously, there was no AFLW team. So you were basically getting treated like the AFLW team at VFL level, which was fantastic. So yeah, and that brings us back up. Got picked before the draft as an expansion pick for Essendon. And here we are with three rounds left of the competition now. So yeah, pretty amazing few years.
Yeah, brilliant. And what was you mentioned the phone call with Essendon that really kind of sparked you wanting to go to them. What was it about that conversation that made you draw to that club rather than maybe other potential clubs you could have been with down the line?
I think it was Major, like Brandon Major, he was the head coach at the time. His kind of philosophy and the way he kind of spoke, felt like it kind of same mindset, like he just kind of was more about, you know, developing the players than, you know, necessarily winning and stuff like that. Like he had been over, that was his fifth year with the VFL team, and they hadn't won much the previous years. I think the year before they got into the prelim final, and then COVID hit, the finals didn't get played. But prior to that, you know, they hadn't much success. So he just the way he spoke, and the offer of kind of teaching new skills and stuff like that. And a big thing for me was, you know, Carlton promised me a lot of kind of like extra skill sessions, things like that, that never really happened. And I kind of just had made an emphasis of that whenever I was on the call to him. And he, I think the line was something like, if we don't teach you it, we don't expect you to know it. And it really kind of just like honed in. I was like, okay, this is going to be a good fit for me. You know, like there's no kind of expectations either, even if you did play AFLW before. So yeah, so we just really, really vibed with them. And Charlotte, who was the head of operations at the time, was lovely as well. So yeah, just got a good vibe from the club.
Okay, and you mentioned there Essendon didn't have an AFLW team at the time, obviously, so it would have been treated as kind of their main team. But can you give us a bit of an insight into the difference between AFLW versus that level you're playing at the VFL level in terms of physicality, skill, for people that might not, let's say, make the or want to try AFLW, go to VFL first? Just give that them a bit of an insight first.
Yeah, it's definitely, don't get me wrong, AFLW is definitely a step up, but it's a brilliant, brilliant way to kind of get that experience, you know, to see, like, generally game sense, you know, like majority, and I'd say all the Irish girls would agree that, you know, we need the games to kind of get our like game knowledge up, structures, all the things, you know. It's a lot more tactical, I reckon, than Gaelic, to just kind of familiarize yourself. Like, you could see it on a piece of paper. Like, I understood the whole structures, knew what I was meant to be doing, but in general play, you have literally 2 seconds before the ball is getting thrown up. You know, you need to get used to kind of making them decisions a lot quicker, and obviously it's kind of just another step up and a lot quicker in the AFLW. But it's definitely a brilliant way to kind of get some game time under your belt. You know, some of the teams had AFL girls playing with them as well. So it's still a really, really good standard. But yeah, it's just a great blow. It's nothing, again, to be afraid of or anything, but it's definitely a brilliant stepping stone into AFLW. And, you know, there's a lot of Irish girls even give it a crack. And even if it's something that, you know, you're unsure of, you'll even, you know, you might think, geez, you know, I would like to give AFLW a go, but you're unsure whether you would even be fit for it, or, you know, at what level you're even at. It's definitely a brilliant stepping stone and a good place to start. Just even generally to do spend a lot more time at your development, whereas whenever you come into AFLW, don't get me wrong, they still try and develop you, but you kind of have to be nearly ready for the season as is. So you kind of want to prepare yourself best as possible for that season ahead. But yeah, generally it's still a pretty good standard, and they would kind of say the VFL, like the Victorian Football League, because they have a lot more teams, it's generally one of the better competitions below. So, you know, if you were coming particularly just to play AFLW or want to get into it, I would recommend kind of Melbourne teams, just for that fact that there's just more teams to play against. And it's a better standard of VFL as well too.
Okay, what's the hardest thing to adjust to when you're coming from Gaelic football to AFLW? Like, what is the toughest part for you?
Definitely the skill wise, with regards to, you know, your ball drop and stuff. There's just so much more to think about than a round ball, in my opinion. And like, don't get me wrong, like, you're learning and you're lucky that you come from a sport that you actually do kick a ball. Like, you know, there's girls that came from rugby sevens, but they were never a kicker or anything like that. So they were literally learning how to kick a ball from scratch. So we're fortunate enough that, you know, there's still that kind of transparency between, you know, a round ball and an oval ball, but it's just kind of getting used to, you know, how the ball bounces, things like that. The skills would definitely be one. And then generally just the structures, like it's a very tactical game, and like I said, like, you could think you understand the game, and when you're watching it, you understand what's happening. But when you're in that, you can't necessarily see it like you do on vision. Like, you're watching it back, and you've behind the goals view, you've, you know, a zoomed out angle, things like that. It makes it look so easy, but you have to be able to kind of adapt and make them decisions within, in live play. You might be fit to see that board's eye view. So yeah, it's generally just the structures. I think mainly whenever I was playing in mids, and kind of how to kind of be the most efficient, I suppose, player than with Gaelic, it's not necessarily you're always kind of going forward. The biggest thing I think as a forward, whenever I played AFLW, is that, you know, they don't tend to run directly across the goals. If you're running, like, say the ball was switched in the back line, you know, in Gaelic, you kind of obviously run to the other side as well. whereas you need to lead back towards the goal to lead back up at the ball. You know, things like this is like, I don't know if that makes sense, but
I
yeah,
think I know what you
disturbing.
mean. You're kind of, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
You're nearly running in a V pattern away from the ball before you come up at the ball, and it's kind of, it's just like simple to them, but it's just completely different running patterns than you would do with Gaelic as such. So it's wee things like that that kind of catch you out when you think you've got the hack of it. But yeah, other than that, I like, to be honest, I think the Gaelic girls are well able with regards to the physical conditioning, even the strength. I know we obviously don't tackle or anything in Gaelic, but we're so much more equipped to, like, we have the strength there. Like, you know, we just actually don't use it. So that side of things I actually kind of love as well. So yeah, no, it is good.
Time wise, when you're on the ball, obviously you mentioned there, like, we're not tackling the same in AFLW as we are in ladies football. So is that something you're really conscious of as a player, is kind of moving the ball quick, avoiding those tackles, or what's it like timing wise with the ball?
Again, yeah, decision making, like certain scenarios, depending where you are, you might want to try and lock the ball in to play a first stoppage, or other times if you're in a forward 50 or you want to keep the ball in play, you might try and release the ball a lot quicker. But there's even that, even when you're out in space, there's always that kind of like perceived pressure, you know, that someone can just come from behind you and tackle you too. So yeah, you're constantly thinking of, like, you know, that decision making, that, you know, releasing the ball. If you can get better at doing that quicker, you know, you're more than likely going to be better at the game as well. Like, you know, if you can get a kick away before you get tackled, all those things do come into play. But yeah, it's definitely a massive skill to kind of have them, you know, that decision making, avoiding the tackles. And I think another thing too that is kind of hard to get used to when you're driving through the ball, you don't always have to go forward, you know, go to where the space is, and sometimes that's behind you as well. So just kind of learning to be that wee bit more composed on the ball as well is another massive thing. But likewise, yeah, like the pressure definitely from VFL up into AFL was a lot. That was probably the biggest thing I noticed. Like, you don't have as much time on the ball, there's someone on your ass the whole time. And you just constantly have to get quicker at those things and get cleaner at those things as well. So yeah, there's loads to think about.
Yeah, Jesus, there is. And you had a really good successful season with Essendon in the VFL. You won the championship.
Yeah, it was amazing. We actually didn't lose a game. We drew one game against the Hawks. And then yeah, after that we won, and our final series was pretty impressive as well. You know, I don't think any team came close to us as well. So it was just one of those teams, and generally, like, I don't know whether it's maybe old age showing on me, but you know, the older you get, you kind of know when there's like a good group of girls, like, and everybody honestly generally just got on so well and just really wanted to play for each other. And like major, just there was such a good culture, like, and everybody, you know, even if you drop, like, the girls' attitudes for, you know, not coming, like, some of them were literally only out of high school, like, there's no like tantrums or anything like that, like, you know. It was just a really, really good culture, and I think everybody was just really happy and really wanted to see something special come out of it, especially when Major had been there for 5 years. So yeah, it was just a fantastic finish to, like, an unbelievable season, which kind of filtered well into the AFLW. Like, with all that going on, it was tough. You know, there was a lot of emotions within the club. You know, obviously the girls were playing to get picked, and not everybody was going to get picked. And then you were seeing, you know, we had to change the rooms and let the AFL girls come in and use our change rooms. And, you know, it was, you know, there's a lot of things that could have threw you off, or could have kind of made a toxic environment. But no, it was just credit to the club and the girls. Like, it was a really, really good culture around that time. It was, yeah, but it was pretty crap for us. We had our grand final was on the Sunday, and we had to train with AFL on the Monday, so it was not ideal, to be honest. But yeah, it was great memories. Yeah, definitely a good start to coming over here anyway.
Yeah, exactly. How do you find it with the perception of FLW in Ireland? I hear very kind of polar opposite opinions nearly sometimes, of people being big fans of the game and people not being fans of the game. And I understand where people are coming from. It's the kind of the argument's been there with the men's side for years, and you kind of hear people kind of making their argument of, well, oh, the men are going over and being signed by these teams, should the clubs get like a kickback for, you know, producing these elite athletes? And you saw like different people coming out in support of AFL or AFLW and other people not. As a player, do you not pay, like, do you pay any attention to it? Does it bother you? What do you make of kind of people just having these kind of polarizing opinions about the game and the opportunity?
Oh, yeah.
Like I get it from, I just want to give you the platform to be able to give people an understanding of why you're going to Australia, because I don't think people realize if you were offered the same, the person giving out about maybe people going to Australia, if you were offered this opportunity, like themselves, would they now still be giving out about it, is what I'm kind of thinking.
Yeah. Oh, like obviously everybody's entitled to the opinion, and there is so many like conflicting things. Like there is, like I can see both sides, and I think, you know, I think maybe people see it as, oh yeah, girls see these friggin' headlights and, you know, or like headlines and like wanna go and be these like superstars. But like there's a lot of thought gone into the, you know, decision to actually move, and it's not all, like obviously it's not like what it's like on Instagram, you know what I mean? Like I was literally just talking to you about like living alone for the past 7 weeks when my housemate's back in Ireland, like, so there is, you know, shit sides to it too, and it is a massive risk. Like, you know, like even Erica herself, like she might have said, like she's only young coming over here, like that's a massive risk to take, you know, and it takes a lot of courage to do it. But don't get me wrong, I'm not gonna like play it up and say that it's not an amazing experience. And I think anyone that kind of gets a taste of it, and maybe for me getting a taste of it at Carlton, I kind of knew that I did want to come back and give it another crack, because I knew, I suppose, just the potential experience, the potential, like it is life changing with regards to like generally the character, who you become, getting that experience. Like I'm already even like talking to the girls at home in the club, like thinking about what you can do to bring home to the club. Like in my eyes, I can only see it as a positive. Don't get me wrong, if you do kind of, I suppose, feed it back into the clubs in Ireland. But in my opinion, I just think that eventually, like nobody really cares. Like it's up to you what you want to do, you know what I mean? Like, and I know myself, like you always feel like you're gonna let the club down, you always feel like you're gonna let the county down by leaving. But like the response I got and the support I got from home when I did make the decision to come out goes to show nobody, not that nobody cares, like people are just genuinely happy to see you do well. And obviously there's gonna be that, God, we're gonna miss you and stuff like that, but you know, As sad as it is, life goes on as well. Like, and one player is not going to make, you know, a huge difference with regards to any team, you know, and it shouldn't. If that's the case, the team needs to be looked at, really. Like, so it is, I do think it is a hard one. I can see people's opinions, but in my eyes, I'm just kind of like, it depends what you want to get out of yourself as a player. Like, I know even, like myself, coming from Fermanagh, there's probably only so much that like I could see us potentially winning, and you're kind of confined to that limitation. You know, you can't change clubs like you can in AFL and stuff like that too. So to have an opportunity to play a professional sport that might never been on your radar before, I think like anybody else, like you said, if they were offered that, they would definitely grab it with both hands. And I think if anybody had a daughter or like a niece or a nephew growing up, like, and they, you know, here that they had that opportunity, like I'm sure they'll be telling them to grab it with both hands. And and yeah, like just like what I've learned about myself and everything, like the experience has just been phenomenal. Like, so yeah, in my eyes, I just think it's invaluable and definitely worth doing. Reality, you go do it, you don't like it, you can always go home. Like, this is the only thing. Like, yeah.
Exactly. What's the community like with all the players? I know there's 22 Irish girls playing this year, but not even just, you can talk about the Irish community that don't even play AFLW, but what's it like going over there and being able to kind of have 22 girls that, or 21 other girls that understand the emotions that goes into it, the different things, the missing home, the, you know, when something's not going right in the pitch, what is that like to have as a community sort of thing over there?
Oh, it's so good. Like, honestly, it's great. Like, you know, with a wee group chat, like, and some of the girls are excellent, just writing in, anyone want to grab coffees, things like that. So it is great just to meet up every so often. And yeah, like you said, it's even that kind of, you know, you're coming from training with similar issues, you know, things that they don't get that we get with regards to, like, even Aussie's not kind of getting what our running patterns work and stuff like that. So it's nice to have some common ground with girls. And then even, I suppose this year, Meg Ryan got added in late to our team. So I was buzzing to have another Irish girl there too. So it's been good crack so far. But yeah, it's amazing. And like, even the Irish community, I honestly think the Irish people when they go away are so much nicer than Irish people at home. I swear, like, people would literally offer you a bed to sleep on,
that you know you literally wouldn't know the person, but because you're Irish, like, and it's such, and it's obviously you're so grateful, and it's amazing to have such a good community over here. But yeah, everybody looks out for each other, and you know the rate, like, everybody supports each other, and the amount of messages you get, like, from people that wouldn't even know you, but you might have met them once. Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, and it is definitely good to have. Like, thankfully, I've kind of, I suppose, two group of friends, and your Irish friends, and then your Aussie friends as well. So yeah, it's good to have that wee bit of home with you as well.
The big thing now with the AFLW, obviously, is the expansion of the team, expansion of the season. This is obviously going to put a big decision on players to kind of, they're going to have to, I guess players are going to be put with kind of the proposal of, you're kind of, you know, you're committing to LGFA or AFLW for the year. There's no more that kind of that crossover that girls would have done previously. What's that like for an intercounty player now to make that decision when you're over there, as in, you know, to extend your contract, or now, if you can kind of think back to making the initial decision, will it be more of a barrier for people in terms of making that decision? What's your kind of take on that?
Yeah, I definitely think it would definitely throw a lot of girls off. Maybe I think we were lucky in a way that we kind of had that luxury of, you know, you could nearly play both seasons, like, fine. So it was definitely a perk of it at the start. Now I definitely think, you know, it'd take a lot more to make that decision, and if you were going, you would nearly just be safer going for the year, like, kind of like what anybody else does when they're moving to Australia. And it's probably one of them things you need to just have that decision made, and accept the fact that you're going to be missing your season. And like, there's so many factors coming, like, in my, you know, have you won everything that you wanted to win, you know, personally with your county and stuff like that too. Like, there's so many things to think about, like, and in a bad way, you nearly have to be selfish. Like, you can't, you know, put on hold your life for what if we win, or, you know, things like that. And obviously, if that's something that you really want to do, of course, do it. But yeah, I definitely think it'd make the decision harder. But with regards to, I suppose, the pay increase now, if there's more rounds, there's more pay, longer season, you know, it's probably easier to kind of see this as an actual career, I suppose, for the year when you're over here as well. So, and like, you have to look at the lifestyle, the experience, the travel, you know, it definitely, it's one of them things that you either make the decision to go or not. Like, I know a few of the girls, of the Irish girls, you know, had already decided that, you know, they were going to eventually stay on a year and do traveling and stuff anyway. So you would have had to take the year out of county. So it's literally so individual. Like, some people feel real passionate about it, and then other people, yeah. It just really depends what you want to get out of it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. What's been the biggest evolution with AFLW, apart from, let's say, the skills of the game and the tactics, but from the outskirts and kind of looking in with the support and the rounds obviously changing, the season changing? What's been the biggest evolution since the last time you were involved with Carlton? Has there been any sort of major shift that you've noticed with the game at all, in the public kind of spotlight?
Oh yeah, I definitely think the media presence, and like, even the likes of T.G. Cahir showing games now is just like phenomenal. Like, you know, and even the interest, like, when I was coaching in primary schools, you know, a lot more of the kids even knew about it. You know, obviously nearly every kid has a phone nowadays. So it as much as you kind of don't think, like, wee snippets of things are going to make it far, but it really, really does. And it filters down through the community, and it's just like a lot more people have an interest than you even realize. Like, you know, like, people writing to me at home that never even thought to watch Gaelic, never mind AFLW, you know. And it is amazing, and that is probably the biggest thing I've noticed over here. And I like was laughing to the girls, like, a lad came up to me in the gym, he worked in the gym, and he was just like, oh, do you play for Essendon? And I was kind of wet myself. I was like, would I ever, like, and he wasn't Irish, this was the first person that recognized me that wasn't Irish. And it was only because, like, he worked with one of the other girls, like, it wasn't as if, oh yeah, I know who you are kind of thing, like. But I just laughed, like, I was like, I did laugh that, like, he was a young lad and he was so interested, like, he was like, oh yeah, one of my friends from school got drafted, you know. I think because it's filtering down into school age, you know, like, we have three, like, or no, I think for four or five, sorry, like, 17-year-old, like, they're only in year 12. So, like, Matt, like, I was thinking, imagine me going into my A-level class, getting picked, and to be, like, the Australian equivalent of a sports superstar, because AFL is massive, especially in Melbourne. I was just like, how would you even concentrate in school? Like, everybody would be just, like, you know, asking questions. So I definitely think the hype and the like media attention around it, and you know, even families bringing their kids, things like that, is just, and the crowds, like the crowds have been amazing at like nearly all of our games, getting to play in Marvel, all these things. You're like, they're definitely going in the right direction, and it definitely has kind of been, I suppose, accelerated too after COVID. I just feel like, yeah, there was definitely a bigger push. Definitely since the last time I was over with Carlton as well too, so it's a really, really positive thing to see.
Okay, brilliant. Speaking of those four or five girls that are about 17, 18, still in school, is that currently, like, to kind of give people an insight that don't understand, this AFLW wasn't a thing till a couple of years ago, so they're only starting to get those kids in now that have been playing really since they were young. Like, it would have, if there was never really this pathway before for players to kind of go on and play at an elite level.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, when AFL first started, I think what, 7 or 8 seasons ago, you know, majority of them girls were girls that have crossed over from like basketball, hockey, you know, all different types of sports that played when they were younger. You know, not many of them girls had come through from like Auskicks or, you know, like an underage program or even in school, because they would have got to say at the age of 14 and there'd be no women's teams, and then they literally couldn't play with the boys. So now it's only starting to, you know, you're starting to see these young girls come through that are, you know, like your brother playing from under eight, like they're playing like Australian rules since then. And I'm not joking, like it's gonna be like the standards are just gonna improve every year, like the skills and the game knowledge and things like that that they just know automatically, because obviously they've just been playing it their whole life. Like obviously it's a step up fitness and physicality wise, but yeah, it's honestly so good to see. And like them even bringing the older girls on too, like, you know, there's still a lot of girls in our team that, you know, football wasn't their main sport, and still would struggle with some of the skills and stuff like that. So it's, yeah, it's really, really cool to see like that starting to filter through already, and the impact I suppose that's had, and I suppose the benefits of having pathways in place, like, so yeah, it's amazing. Really, really good.
We were kind of talking before we record about different things, and the clip I sent you the other day about, you know, what is the real sacrifice in sport and kind of what is winning, you know, in that conversation of, yeah, you can win all these championships, but in your personal life, you know, things are not, you know, kind of falling apart. For you, like, kind of on that conversation, that topic of being a professional athlete and kind of going through, even like, you know, ladies football, you're still trying to juggle full-time work, social life, all the other things that we all have. Just talk us through some of those sacrifices that you make and kind of your insight into what it's like being a pro athlete and kind of the sacrifices you make that we don't see going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I suppose like it's probably all kind of normal enough to people as well to know, but like, yeah, I feel like the biggest thing for me, and we kind of talked briefly about this, is that you're so used to being so busy from Gaelic life. You know, like you said, your work, your social, you're going to football training every night, you're going to the gym the other evenings that you don't have football. You know, you're just constantly busy. That to come over here and to literally, I suppose now with the pay increases, definitely leave left a lot easier, that, you know, you don't have to work as many hours as well, and like with visa restrictions stuff like that, you can't work only for the club, so there's only certain things that you can do, so you have a lot more spare time than you realize. And to be honest, I did struggle with that at the start, and probably one of the reasons I signed up to do or like applied for a scholarship to get to do a master's, just for that. I think you kind of, you'd start to doubt your self worth. Like I know at a stage I was like, what am I doing with my life? And I was like, I'm literally in the middle of an AFLW season that I literally set out a goal to achieve. Like I need to kind of like rein it back in a bit, to be kind of like, you don't have to be busy all the time. And I think it's just kind of drilled into us from when we were so young that we just kind of, you know, if you're not busy, you're lazy, or you're not succeeding as much as you can do. So I definitely, don't get me wrong, I do think, you know, like it depends, like the pillars of life, like your relationships, your social lives, your sport, your career, all them things. Like I, not that I don't believe you can balance them all at once, but I definitely think it's hard. Like something has to give. Like without, like everybody knows, like your social life's gonna take a hit whenever you're in like a professional sport. Like, you know, you haven't went out, and like majority of my, say, Irish friends, you know, I'm missing like Gaelic dinner dances and stuff like that, that you would bond with them a wee bit better at. But like again, you're used to that from Gaelic at home, so it's not too bad. But then again, yeah, like your relationships, your friendships, you don't meet as many people. And you kind of are confined to, I suppose, that wee football family. And you know, you see them girls, like they end up becoming nearly your family because you're seeing them more than anyone else that you be there with. So it like to that especially, I think moving to a new country, and like I know this time around, you know, we weren't put in a share house. You know, you're actually, I like had the proper Irish experience, I suppose, of coming over here and having to sort my own house. And you know, that was like stressful at the start. And then you're trying to be like, well, I'm not working, I'm only going to football training. I know, like, obviously, my housemate's like one of my best friends from home, Sarah, but I was like, if we can't go out, it's really hard to actually like meet people. And like, I was just like, I can't meet people through work, or if I'm working, I might be taking a class. So there's no other employees at the time. You know, you kind of think about how it kind of isolates you a wee bit as well. So, just trying to kind of, for me, it was trying to keep, maintain them like social circles, kind of seeing things you can do that say doesn't involve drink. And thankfully Melbourne is pretty good, like there's loads of like events and stuff on, like you know, there's like a triathlon every other weekend, or like there's a thing, Feel Good Dips, where you go and dip in Elwood Beach, you know. And I met these two French girls, you know, you just meet people the most random ways here. So I definitely feel like that side of it like was a struggle at the start, but again, yeah, it's like the sacrifices definitely don't feel as much whenever you have the like luxury, if you take a step back and like how grateful you are to be in the position you're in. And I suppose, like I said, when you take a step back, you realize how busy and how much at home you were, and how much you were just kind of coasting along, kind of not really looking after yourself because you were just flat out all the time. So, it's definitely has its pros and cons, but yeah, the pros definitely outweigh the cons in terms of like relationships or connections and stuff like that. So, yeah, thankfully it's just been a really good experience so far, and it hasn't been too many sacrifices that I've really felt that has hit home anyway.
Yeah, that was something I was talking to a good friend of mine. He's a coach as well, and you think I'm busy, you just see his schedule. I think since COVID it's been this kind of, you know, because we could do nothing for so long, whenever someone presents an opportunity to me, I'm like, yeah, because you know what I mean,
Yeah.
you were so used to doing nothing, and you have to kind
Yeah.
of learn now to say no to things and kind of balance your time. And there's just this kind of, I feel like the world has gotten so busy because we're all trying to catch up on all the things you missed, and now we're too busy for what we're normally supposed to do. And it's like this kind of cycle of, you know, you're trying to balance absolutely everything you're doing commitment wise, but then keep the social pillars that you just mentioned, the relationships, your friendships, your, you know, making sure you're filling your cup, as someone told me recently, you know, getting your value and what you're, you know, enthusiastic about, because life's too short, as you said to me earlier before we hit record, that, you know, there's no point in being somewhere you're not enjoying it.
Yeah, like there's so many, like even like I was thinking visas and stuff before, like, and all I was thinking about was I have an engineering degree, you probably have no bother getting sponsored over here. And I was like, what am I thinking? Like I'm like, you know, you kind of condition yourself that you're not gonna, you know, survive, or you know, I don't know how to describe it, but you're just kind of in that mindset where you need to be busy the whole time, or it's okay to be miserable if you get like an end reward. Like, and I was just like, it's not, like, you know what I mean? Like literally. And it's sad that like only when you're out of the bubble, it's kind of like even when you're in a sporting environment or when you're in the county bubble, sometimes it's when you step out but that you realize the commitment you put into something and how much you put your life on hold for. You know, I'm like obviously comparing it to AFLW now, and I was just like, I feel like I'm nearly doing less nearly as an AFLW player than the time I was committing to Gaelic. And I was like, the life experiences, the opportunities for career progression, things like that has been opened up to me because of this, is definitely something that, you know, you do have to think about, like, you know, the commitment and the time you put away, is it worth missing your family's, you know, certain things like that. And don't get me wrong, when I go home, I'm more than likely going to go back into the county bubble. Like you do love it, like, but it's definitely kind of, sometimes you kind of be like, what, you know, what are your values in life? You know, is it family? Is it football? Is it, you know, and stick to your values. So, you know, whatever it is, there's no right or wrong, but it's just kind of making sure that you're doing things that you want to do. And like I said, learning to say no to things that you don't. And I think maybe only as you get older, do you have that kind of, I suppose, courage to say no. because you're not trying to people please everybody, or you're not trying to, I don't know, like it's don't get me wrong, it's still hard to say no at times, like, but yeah, it definitely comes better with practice, like, and you just learn to be that wee bit more. And I say the word selfish, but you know what, I hate, because it's nearly like frowned upon, that word, but the reality is you need to be selfish, like, and yeah, I think it's just do what you need to do.
Yeah, exactly. Is there anything that you found from the setup at AFLW? Like, obviously, it's probably hard to compare and bring into ladies football because it's not professional, but is there anything that you found? Like, I know there's different kind of employees or sort of well-being officers. Is that something that ladies football should look at, kind of bringing in that for a team that I know it's professional, but you have nearly less commitments now as a professional player compared to an amateur player? Is that something that you feel that the LGFA should look at, or something to kind of help these players going through what's in the bubble, you know, and kind of cope with everything that's going on as an amateur player?
Yeah, I think it's a really tricky one at home, because obviously you've no control, like, you know, if someone's coming to you and saying, you know, they're stressed or they feel like they're run down or whatever it may be, like, I feel like you've not as much control, because you're obviously, like, you know, you're confined to that job. You know, you can't go tell a girl, look, I think you need to go part time. You know, there's certain limitations that at home compared to here. Not that anyone here would probably be telling anyone to, like, quit their job or anything, but I do think it's a lot easier here, because, like, you obviously know what they're getting paid and things like that, that you can kind of give them a wee bit better advice. But yeah, I definitely think at home, like, the likes of the work that the GPA is doing is brilliant, like, even compared to, like, the AFLPA here. You know, they're offering more or less the same, you know, like resources, like with regards to a psychologist, or, you know, career counseling, financial advice, all them kind of things. That's like maybe outside worries that kind of is distraction from your sporting career, and the GPA is already doing that, which is brilliant. You know, I don't know with regards to, like, that, I suppose, like, the likes of the rep meetings and stuff, to do make it evident that, you know, that help is there if the girls do need it or the guys do need it. But I feel, yeah, it's hard. In my view, the only thing with regards is, like, that your resources, like that if you had an extra person there training to help out, or like that an ear to listen to the girls if they are stressed, and maybe that's all the girls need, just literally to rant to someone. And you know, some girls might want to rant to a player because they don't want to distract that player, things like that. And your coach might be approachable because they don't want to, you know, put their risk of selection at, you know, and so if they're definitely, like, you know, if there was extra resources or like that, like, majority of the player or people there are volunteers anyway, but if someone volunteered their time to do that, it would definitely be a benefit, like. But yeah, I definitely think the just with regards to the resources, like, you know, your coaches aren't trying to plan your gym programs, your training programs, and manage the team. You know, they've, you know, three or four people for each of them roles, whereas at home it might be one or two people to do all that, like, you know. And obviously, to a point, they're gonna average out at something, like. So definitely, I think just generally the people, the use of GPSs, all that kind of stuff is just next level, and it's just, you know, it's easier to manage. Like I already get excited about things that I want to do whenever I go home, like, and even probably another reason why I'm doing this performance coaching masters, that I'm already like, yeah, God, yeah, I could already see this, you know, me working with a team at home and doing this kind of stuff. So I think there's that kind of, I suppose, use of equipment and stuff, but again, it's just funding, and you know, like, some clubs could get it. You know, there's clubs that's probably wealthier than some of the counties as well. You know, it's just at home, there's so much variables that can't be controlled, and it literally it's just a lot harder to manage. But yeah, I definitely think, well, as many people can go out and volunteer and help their teams, I think it could only benefit, like.
Yeah, good point. What's sort of the goals, and you know, even beyond AFLW and football, you mentioned there kind of working with a team. What are your plans over the next couple of years, in sport and outside of sport? But kind of sounds like sport is going to be, whether you're playing or not, you're going to be involved in some sort of manner.
Yeah, well, I suppose we were just talking about having that free time. I think that free time led me to just kind of have a wee crisis of, like, Jesus, what am I gonna do after football? So, yeah, I think I definitely feel, and like that, like, Don't get me wrong, I feel like maybe I didn't give engineering a good crack. You know, I worked maybe not even a full year as a graduate engineer, and I just knew that, you know, look, I was sitting looking up strength and conditioning programs to see what I could do to help me at county and stuff like that. So I definitely was always passionate about the sporting side of things, and I feel like it would nearly be a waste of time when I changed so much to go into personal training and stuff like that to take a back step and go back into engineering and kind of run that risk of being, I suppose, miserable. And anyone that's probably sporty never likes to quit anything, even if they are miserable. So I feel like I was like, it's a good opportunity now when I have, I suppose, a bit more time. I can study. I have access to the club. I have access to like some of the best coaches in Melbourne. And access to like facilities, tests and equipment, all that stuff. So it's a perfect opportunity to learn that experience to kind of see if that's something that I want to go into. And then luckily I obviously got the scholarship through the GPA as well. So like even that, like opportunities that just kind of come up, and like you said, you kind of feel like you can't say no to these chances, I might get this again. So thankfully I applied for it, and look, like I don't think is ever a right time to do anything like this. So I feel like now when I have the access to the club and everything, it'll be a great opportunity to see if I like if well I do love it, like I do, I get so passionate reading about it and all. So I would love to get a career in that, in what team and what country I have no clue, but yeah, look, having a master's was it will always help you in that sense. So yeah, just try and focus on getting through that. Hopefully a few more years of footy in me, and yeah, hopefully we'll be coming back in the podcast in a few years, and I'll know what I'm doing then.
Well, Joanne, we can
But
do a
yeah.
live podcast next summer when I come to watch the World Cup in Australia. So that's what we can
Oh,
do.
yeah. Oh my God, unreal. I'll put you up, no bother.
There
I'm
you
telling
go,
you, you might.
sorted. All I need is tickets now.
I'm telling you, I'll keep an eye on the tickets here, and we'll get started.
Lovely stuff. Joanne, I'm going to link the episode we did previously in the description box, but if there's anyone that wants to reach out and just ask you maybe a question about AFLW or just something, where is the best place to get in touch?
Literally, either obviously you can hit either of my Instagrams. It's just at Joanne Doonan or at Joanne Doonan Fitness. Literally, yeah, reach out, ask me anything about AFL, how to get into it, what clubs, how to approach VFL clubs and stuff like that. Anything you want to know, don't be afraid to message.
Okay, brilliant. Joanna, I'll let you go. It's time for bed. I don't want to delay any longer, but thanks so many for coming on. I'll chat to you soon.
No bother, roller. So good to chat to you again. Talk soon.
Massive thank you to Joanne for joining me back on the podcast, and also a big thank you to our sponsor, RTP Physio, founded by chartered physiotherapist Joni Fox and Thomas Dively, based in St Jude's GAA Club in Temple Oak, Dublin. RTP specialise in physiotherapy, return to play, physical health, performance. You can get more information over on their website rtp.physio or their Instagram at physio_RTP.